The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. At the close of this teaching, please continue listening as we give you important information about Christians for Messiah Ministries. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins. This message is entitled, How to Hear from God.
We're speaking on the subject of how to hear from God. And we're going to look now in the scriptures at Mark chapter 4 and verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This scripture tells us the principle of hearing. It tells us that we need to be careful what we hear. And the measure that we hear, it's going to be given back to us. We are directly related. Our growth in God is directly related to our ability to hear. If we hear God, we will grow. If we do not hear God, we will stagnate. If we hear God, we will receive His blessings. If we do not hear from God, we will dry up like a prune, or worse. Hearing God is important. And the Lord says, if you are able to hear God, or he who has the ability to hear, will be given more. The more you hear God, the bigger your ears will grow, the more unplugged they will become, and the more sharp will be your hearing mechanism. Amen. But if you are not hearing from God, you will become more deaf with each passing day. This is so important because there's a lot of deaf Christians. And it's time that we realize that the power of God is found in our ability to hear from Him. This is the principle of hearing. The Lord says, be careful what you hear, and with the measure that you meet, with the ability that you have to hear, it shall be given unto you. And so we're instructed there to get more and more and more. Now this will unfold as I preach tonight. This is kind of just an introduction. But come with me to a second portion of scripture in the book of John. In John chapter 10, in the first part of that chapter, we read about the good shepherd, who is Jesus. He says, I am the good shepherd. I lay my life down for my sheep. But listen to what he says about hearing. In John chapter 10, verse 2, he says, the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. Can you hear that? He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. This is such a powerful teaching that the Lord is giving. He is talking to us. He is calling us his sheep. And then he talks to us about the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. Jesus always preached the ideal and handled the real. He's still doing it today. He's going to tell us the way to go, how to get to the top of the mountain, how to get the blessings, how to get all that God has for us. And then he's going to come down into the valley to where many people are drudging along through the mud and bullets to help them climb one step higher, all the time pointing toward the mountaintop. He preaches the ideal, but then he handles the real. Just because we don't come into the ideal doesn't mean that he'll forsake us. He doesn't forsake us because we're messed up, or else he wouldn't be dealing with anybody, because we're all a little messed up, and some of us are really messed up. But Jesus still loves us and still walks with us. He says, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. That's why he's our champion and a high priest who knows about our affliction and our frailty and has become a perfect high priest because of it. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, there is an ideal that he calls us to. And he says, my sheep, this is the ideal, hear my voice. Whew. And he says, when they hear my voice, I gather them together and I go on before them and I lead them out into good pastures. That is what is inferred in this scripture. He says, I go ahead of them and I lead them. That's the ideal. That's the purpose of hearing God, so that you can be led into the blessings, into the protection, into the anointing, into all that God has for you, into your destiny, into your inheritance. But if you don't hear, you can't go. You see, the ability to hear God determines what path you're going to be on in life. Your ability to hear God determines how far you will go on the path. Some people got saved 30 years ago. They heard a few sounds from heaven, and they've been living off of it for the last 30 years. They haven't heard a fresh word from God. They're just going around the same mountain. They will go to heaven, because you can only go around the mountain so many times before you die. And they did give their lives to Jesus, and he still walks with them. But their journey doesn't go in a straight line anymore. They're not climbing higher into the things of the Lord. And I want you to know that as far as you've come is absolutely and directly related to how well you've been able to hear. And if you will learn to hear more and to learn to hear better, you will go further. There will be no limits to what God has for you, but it's all wrapped up in your ability to hear. So tonight, we're speaking on how to hear from God. Can you understand that this is an essential subject? We need this teaching. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and unstop our ears and to bring success to the preaching of your word, to bring what needs to be brought forth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Many people, as I was saying, have a one-time experience with God. If you start talking with them and you get into fellowship, they bring up something that happened 10 years or 12 years ago. They say, I was in such a place and such a thing happened. You know, most of the things that happened that were miraculous in my life many, many, many years ago, I've forgotten. And it's only when I'm preaching a sermon that the Holy Spirit brings something back to me that was absolutely life-shaking and miraculous way back then. But there has been so many each year, each month, each week, and most every day that I have totally lost track of all the times that God has spoken to me and all the powerful things that have happened as a result of it. And today, I find myself moving in such a place in my hearing with the Holy Spirit that it is increasing all the time. So that some years ago, God started to give me more and more dreams, until it got to the place where just about every single night, in fact, I have to say every single night, I am hearing from God. God speaks to me as much while I'm sleeping as when I'm awake. And all day long, as I am moving about this life, God is speaking to me in one way or another. Lately, I have been saying, when I dream and God shows me somebody in my dream, I start to pray for them when I wake up. Now, I'm shifting, and I'm praying for them before I wake up. I find myself waking up, and I'm praying for the people who have been in my dream. I don't know when I'm awake or when I'm asleep, because the Lord is continuing to speak all the time to me. And I realize that if my hearing becomes sharper, if I say, Lord, I've got to hear from you, whatever it takes for me to learn to be a listener, whatever it takes for you to unblock my hearing, the Holy Spirit of God, so that there's an open channel so I can hear from heaven, the more that I move in that direction, the clearer God's voice becomes, the more he speaks to me, and the more I feel that he is taking me and leading me out into green pastures. My life is full of blessings and adventure and the purposes of God because the Lord is speaking and I am hearing his voice. I hope to inspire you to with some jealousy for your ears over this weekend. And for you to cry out to God, for you to say, Lord, I need to move into a whole new place of hearing the voice of God. Your expectation has been too low. It's time that you elevate your hearing potential, because your hearing potential, you haven't understood it, and you have become, as the Bible says, dull of hearing. Now, I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to the other person beside you. It's time that you elevated your life through elevating your ability to hear. Now, this word elevating, I'm talking about elevating your expectation, elevating your hearing potential, and elevating your life and elevating your ability to hear. Well, in order for you to be lifted up, you have to be humble. If you're going to be elevated, the Bible says you have to humble yourself. Let me tell you, this is where it begins. Hearing is an act of humility. It's saying, I've got to hear from you. It's not being proud to say, I don't need to hear. You ever talk with somebody and you try to give a little recommendation, and halfway through the suggestion, they cut you off because they don't have the patience to hear your recommendation. It's not that you want to control or run their life or say it has to be this way, but you feel you've got something that could be a benefit to them and they won't listen. That is pride. And this humility to hear from God is how the elevation program begins in your life. Lord, I need to hear from you. I must hear from you. Help me to hear from you. Hallelujah. So this is about drawing near to God, learning to hear from him. And the Bible says, if you draw near unto God, he will draw near unto you. If you are listening, he will speak. The more you hear, the more you will hear in the future. It will grow exponentially on this journey of learning to listen. Something is blocking your ears. If you went to a spiritual Dr. Jesus, he'd look in your ear and he'd say, you have a plug in there that needs to be taken out because you need to hear better than what you're hearing. So I want to give you, first of all, some conditions for hearing God. If you're going to hear God, these are seven things that you need to learn to do. All right? First of all, you have to absolutely dedicate your whole life to God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, present your body a living sacrifice unto the Lord. That's dedicating your life to God, right? At the end of that passage, it says, so you might know what the will of God is, right? The good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. You can't hear from God. You can't know what his will is for your life unless you dedicate everything to him. That's where it begins. And so many Christians have little bits of their life that they don't dedicate to him. And you know what? You can fool everybody in the church, but you can't fool God. And he says, you're not giving everything to me, and therefore I'm not speaking to you. or I'm only going to speak to you once in a while. I probably told the story before, but it's worth telling again. When I was 18 years of age, I was a youth pastor. I was on fire for the Lord every day. I met, interceded. I saw people get saved every single week. I was preaching every week when I was 18 years of age. And that one day I got on my knees to pray unto the Lord, and I felt that the Holy Spirit didn't show up. And I said, "Lord, what's wrong? Why aren't you here?" And I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. And the Holy Spirit said, "There's something you haven't dedicated to me. You've given all of these things to me, but there's one area of your life that you refuse to give to me. What if I want you to be a bachelor for all of your days?" I thought, "God, not that. I gotta have a wife or I'll turn out weird." I'd seen a few prophets who never got married. They were out of balance. I said, "Lord, I've got to have a wife." But the Lord said, "What if I want you just to serve me, not to have a wife?" And I cried. I cried and I said, "All right, Lord, I'm not going to look for a wife anymore. I was 18. I'm just going to serve you in the ministry." I said, "I want you to make me like Adam, put me to sleep concerning the opposite sex. And if and when the right girl comes along, wake me up. Otherwise, I'm just going to serve you." And so from that moment, that's what I did. I gave everything to God, the Holy Spirit, immediately. Not the next day, not 3 hours later, but within the same instant of my dedicated prayer, the Holy Spirit came and I could hear again. It was a month later while I was preaching. That was the first time I saw that lady, Joy. I was preaching a sermon to the youth in the church. She walked in the back halfway through my sermon, and I woke up. And I said, "God, how could you do that to me during the sermon?" But we became friends. 3 years later, we were married. And as soon as she walked in that door, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. We met at the altar. Well, dedicating your life to God completely, it must be absolute, is the first key to being able to hear God. If you are holding something back, God will not speak clearly to you. He will give you little tiny bits and pieces of information, but they will be hardly received. Second thing is that you have to forgive other people. If somebody has hurt you in your life, not if somebody has hurt you in your life, somebody has hurt every one of you in your life. I've been hurt more times than I can remember in my life. But when I am hurt, I know it doesn't matter how badly somebody hurts me. I have to give them to God. God will avenge and judge. But I've got to get free of the bitterness and the unforgiveness before I go to sleep that night. If I sleep one night with unforgiveness, my ears begin to calcify. They begin to become alabaster. They get glassed over. The Bible says, "A wounded spirit, who can bear?" As a pastor, I have ministered to so many people who have had wounded spirits because they could not or would not or were unable to forgive people who had hurt them over many, many years. They had piled up these things as if a human being could be a garbage can or something, collecting wounds and hurts piled up. And some of them are very serious wounds, very painful wounds, very devastating wounds. I don't underestimate their power or how devastating they can be. But the truth is that you were not made to be a garbage can. And as long as wounds are in your life, you cannot hear God clearly. got nothing to do with the person who hurt you. And it's got nothing to do with them needing to be penalized for their sins and their crimes. You have to give that to God. But you better get the wounds out of your life, and you better rise up and get healed, because a wounded spirit cannot hear. So many times I've counseled somebody, they've come in and they start, you know, a pastor, he opens up his office and says, come and I'll do whatever I can to help you. Some people drive a truck up to the window of the office, a big dump truck full of junk, and they open up the window to the office and fill the office when they're, you know, downloading. And then I tell them that they have to forgive. And we go through some prayers and of forgiveness and blessing those people who have hurt us. And then we get back to doing a little counseling. And then they say, but you know, that person really hurt me. I thought we just shoveled all that stuff out of the office. And now you're bringing it all back in. Watch my lips. You have to forgive. And they say, yes, I forgive them. But you know, they really hurt me. I hope your spirit is hearing this. Because if you have wounds inside of you, you will not hear God clearly. And your growth in God is dependent upon your ability to hear God. So deal with it. You can't afford to carry wounds. You cannot afford to have a spirit of rejection over you and to be walking around like a victim, a wounded person, a person with baggage of hurts and unforgiveness and bitterness. You will not hear God clearly. The third thing that is a condition for you hearing God, I want you to know that by the time I give you all of these seven, if you will do all of these seven things, you will hear God. I guarantee it. God is not a respecter of persons. If you meet him, he will meet you. If you draw near to him appropriately, he will draw near to you. And that's the beginning of all great things in your life. The third thing is to obey what God says to you when he speaks. If you don't, he'll stop talking. I'm serious about this. If you say, God, I need to hear, I need to hear, I need to hear, and then God speaks to you, and you say, well, all right, maybe, I don't think so, then God will not keep speaking. You will come into frustration. And you will say, why doesn't God love me? Why has God abandoned me? Why don't I have blessings on my life? The ability to continue to hear is conditional upon your ability to obey. The more you obey, the more you will hear. The fourth condition for hearing God is to give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. See, giving thanks changes the atmosphere. You say, Lord, I just give you thanks. I'm going to give you thanks. And so when trouble comes and you're in a jail in Philippi, in stocks and chains, and they just whipped your back raw, and you're in there with criminals, and you're in a worse place. Paul and Silas gave us the example. You lift your heart in thanksgiving unto the Lord. An earthquake comes and changes the environment. When Daniel saw his parents killed, saw his city destroyed, saw his faith undermined, was castrated so he could no longer have children, was taken away as a slave hundreds of miles away across the desert, was taught the language of the foreign king who had just killed his family. His name was taken away, which was a name that was unto God. That's why the L is at the end of Daniel's name, because it has God in his name. The name was taken from him, and he was given the name of a demon. That was his new name. Then he was made to serve the king who had done the very atrocities to his faith, his family, and his people. And the Bible says, 3 times a day, he opened the windows towards Jerusalem and gave thanks. That's why the Bible says he was a man who had an extraordinary spirit. He turned the world upside down. He outlasted 6 kings of Babylon. They came and went. They rose up and died. They lifted up in pride and were brought down low like an animal. They were arrogant against the Lord until the handwriting came on the wall and they were killed that very night. But Daniel, he went through king after king after king. This man who was supposedly the slave, who was supposedly the one who had lost everything, but he gave thanks unto the Lord. He changed the atmosphere, even in Babylon. I don't know, you might be living in Babylon. You might be living in a place of darkness. There might be all kinds of problems in your family and in your home. But there is an atmosphere changer. And if you give thanks unto the Lord, it'll unstop your ears. You'll be hearing from God when everybody else is in the mully grubs. When everybody else is in defeat and worried and fearful, you give thanks to the Lord. You might look at the present economic situation, the threat of terrorism in the world, natural disasters which seem to be on the rise, questions about the government that we might now have in the United States of America, some of our moral values being eroded around us, many of our youth being caught up in vice and darkness. It seems like the nation is sliding quickly toward decay. And you know that judgment of God will follow. And you, because of all of that, can come into a place of worry and anxiety. And you can come to the end of yourself where you lose hope. Or you can do what the Bible says. You can, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you say, well, didn't you just describe a living hell on earth? Well, no worse than what Daniel faced in Babylon, or Paul and Silas faced in Philippi. And it's time for you now to run this race and to begin thanking God in the face of adversity. And it's time to get your eyes off yourself and your own weaknesses and your own pity parties and your own I need help with somebody look after me attitude and say, Lord, I'm here as a servant of the living God. Who can I help? I'm here not to have my own wounds licked, but to come and put some Band-Aids, some oil, and some wine and oil into those who are wounded along the side of the road, who are more wounded than I am, who are more needy than I am, and in everything I will give thanks unto the Lord. God will be speaking to you. You won't be able to write it down quick enough. You will not have a problem with confusion or direction in your life. The fifth thing to get out of the way, or the fifth thing to do to begin to hear from God, is to ask. For the Bible says, ask, and it will be given to you. Ask, knock, seek. Lord, I need to hear from you. See, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are all an outflow of your ability to hear from God. Discerning of spirits, prophecy, interpretation of tongues, speaking in tongues, faith, healings, all of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit are an outflow of a person's ability to hear from God. You hear from God and you have the confidence to move in faith with whatever the gift is that is needed for the moment. You don't hear from God and you say, well, I'm not sure. You get all wimpy because you don't have the anointing. The anointing comes by hearing from God. So ask. Ask the Lord for this. He says, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, He will not give you a stone. He won't give you a scorpion. He will give you the Holy Spirit. And why does He give us the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit does two things directly for us. He comforts us and He teaches us. He speaks to us. He guides us and leads us and helps us on our journey. So ask and it will be given unto you. The sixth thing is to believe. If you want to hear from God, believe that God will speak to you. Don't sit back and say, God never speaks to me. And then God speaks to you and you say, that wasn't God. That was just myself. So you have to say, Lord, speak to me. And then you have to start praying faith prayers. Faith prayers do not just ask. Faith prayers speak as though the asking request is already obtained. That is what a faith prayer is. You have to pray with faith. So you say, Lord, thank you for speaking to me. You say, but I haven't heard from God yet. This is how you start. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to me. Thank you, Lord, that if I diligently seek you, you will reward me. And I'm diligently seeking you. And I thank you that the reward is already here. I haven't seen it yet. Lord, I thank you because I'm going to be seeing it. That's faith prayers. Lord, thank you for giving me bigger ears. Thank you for unstopping my ears. Thank you for allowing the gifts of the Holy Spirit to move through me. Thank you for making me a partner with heaven. Thank you for hiring me as a soldier in the army of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the armor of heaven. Thank you, Lord, for the angels of fire that are assisting me. You start to pray like that and believe that God is moving in your life and your hearing apparatus will get fine-tuned. The seventh thing in learning how to hear from God, conditions from hearing God, you have to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord is not passive. You've got to do some aggressive hearing. And then you wait on the Lord. That means you say, Lord, I've got to hear from you. And let me tell you about hearing what it means, what I believe it means to wait on the Lord. It means that the Lord's not going to speak to you when you want Him to. He's going to speak to you when He wants to. And it always happens that way. People who go and fast, the whole time they're fasting, it's like that they're at the bottom of a dry riverbed. And they say, God, why won't you speak to me? I've been fasting all week to hear from you, to get this answer. And most people who do that, I find that they don't hear from God until 3 days later, 10 days later, when they're sleeping, when they're driving in the car, or a little girl comes up to them, a little boy comes up to them with the answer. It's a month later in the timing of the Lord when He speaks. This is what it means. Waiting on the Lord means, yes, I have done everything I know to do. I will continue to do it. It's in the bag. God will come through. That's waiting on the Lord. He will come through. He will speak. He will not suffer His servant to fall. He will provide for His own. He will give me the direction that I need for my life. I have learned this the hard way over many, 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 many years of being a slow learner. I have come to the edge and not seen the answer and thought, woe is me. I am just going through this life by myself. Only to find out, when I look back on it, God did show up and he did do what needed to be done. It just wasn't done my way, but I am only going from mountain to mountain, from grace to grace, from faith to faith, from blessing to blessing, from anointing to anointing. From more open doors to more open doors. It is a non-stopping flow of blessings on my life, and it's all because I'm learning to hear. And I've been hearing for a long time. So people come and with all kinds of new programs for the church. This worked over in that church. If you do that, you know, your church will grow. And they have 25 steps on how to grow your church. Or revival broke out in such a place, so why don't we do that here? And people are trying to be copycats when what they need to do is learn to hear from God. If you hear from God, he is the author and the finisher of your faith. He said, I will build my church. He will do it all. Now, those are how to prepare yourself to hear, to unblock. Let me tell you 8 ways to hear from God. 8 ways that God speaks. God speaks, first of all, through a still small voice, which means in your heart. It is not always the peace voice that's in your heart. Some people, the Lord says, I want you to go there. It's the valley of the shadow of death. They say, I can't go there. I'm frightened to death of that. I'm not going there. I don't bear witness with that. Why? Because they're afraid. But the Lord may be still saying it. So the still small voice is not always the voice of the natural kind of peace that we know. But it is a settling voice, even though you go there. It's like when Agabus comes to Paul and wraps a belt around his hands and says, this will happen to you if you go to Jerusalem. Modern day Christians, many would say, well, I'm not going to Jerusalem then. Thank you, Lord, for the warning. Hallelujah. God just protected me. But Paul, he's not looking at the outward peace meter. Don't go by the outward peace meter, or else you'll never come with us to Israel. Or else you'll never walk where God wants you to walk in the face of adversity. That's just human comfort you're talking about. But there is a voice of peace that comes inside of you. And Paul says, I'm not only willing to go to Jerusalem, but I don't care what happens to me there. I'll give my life to serve the Lord. That's the peace that's inside of him. And he says, thank you, Lord, for preparing me. Not for warning me so I don't go, but equipping me as I do go. So the peace of God is the yes word of God in your heart, but it doesn't mean you avoid all trouble. The second way that God speaks to you, first one is a still small voice. Second way is through the scriptures. And when you're reading your Bible, there are 2 verses that you're going to look at. One verse is the written word of God, and one verse we'll have the voice of God in it for you right now. 2 verses beside each other. Both of them are great verses, but God will speak to you through one. All right, that's the verse that has oil poured on it for today. Tomorrow it'll be the other verse. But today it's that verse. So God speaks through the scriptures. And he can speak in so many different ways. So read, get in the Word of God and stay in there, and God will speak to you. The third way that God speaks is through signs and wonders. I have had so many signs and wonders that came where God has spoken to me through a formation in the clouds, somebody's license plate. Somebody had written something on a tree probably years ago. There are so many signs, I don't have the time to tell you all the ways that God has given me direction when I've talked to Him. Sometimes I'm talking to the Lord and I'm saying, I need clear direction, and I'm walking down the street and somebody's fixing their car and they have the radio blasting and the words that some pop singer is singing, God's using to speak to me. And it's like, whoa, God is not limited to the hymn book or the church community. He can speak through all kinds of people in all kinds of ways at the right time. The signs and wonders. From one of the great signs of my life is to find dimes. I don't want to go into the details of this, but once upon a time, many years ago, somebody in a ministry context picked up a dime that they found on the ground. They said, Peter, this dime is for you. It's a symbol and a sign of God's blessing and favor on your life and ministry. Within the next 2 years, I found 80 dimes everywhere that you could just imagine. I still find dimes today. And every time I find a dime, it's a sign where the Lord says, I am with you, and this is a very special moment. Know that I am with you. It's just a sign. It's a sign and a wonder. It's not for anybody else. Don't go looking for dimes. You have your own. Your own signs and wonders. And then, so that's a still small voice, scripture, signs and wonders. Then there's dreams and visions. I get dreams every night, and about once a week I get a huge dream. Most of the messages that I preach are initiated through dreams or when I'm woken at 3 o'clock in the morning and I go and I open up my Bible and I read a verse. I don't sit down and wrestle to say, what message am I going to preach this Sunday? I used to. Now I'm plugged in. And God chooses to speak to me. And He'll speak to me something 2 weeks ago. And that'll be what I'm going to start studying on. It's just what's supposed to be preached in 2 weeks from now at another church. I am not the designer of the messages that I preach. So often dreams and visions. God speaks to me all the time in that way. The fifth thing is angels. The fifth way God speaks is through angels. All through the Bible, the angel of the Lord came to Abraham, came to Ezekiel, came to Jeremiah, came to Isaiah. The angels of the Lord are coming to everyone. They came to Paul. They came to John. They came to Peter. The angels of the Lord visit all the people of God in the Bible. Why do you think that they stopped? Exactly. So you should be having visitations of angels. It should be happening in your life. I don't know how often an angel from God visited the patriarchs, but it certainly happened a few times. Often in people's dreams, like Jacob when he's sleeping and he sees the angels coming up and down on the ladder. And he wakes up and says, surely this place is the house of God. So often angels will visit you in your dreams. The more your ears open, the more angelic visitations you will have. This is so important for you to get your ears working. The sixth way to hear from God is through prophets and ministers. Tonight, God is yelling at you through me. There ought to be a hunger and a shift inside of you after hearing this message tonight. I am a minister of the gospel sent from the courts of heaven with a message for you. God speaks through prophets and ministers. 7, God speaks through circumstances. Sometimes all the circumstances line up. A good friend of mine was married and lived on the other side of the country and had a lot of problems in his marriage, unexpectedly, and he got a divorce. Very painful situation. He's a lovely man of God. He moved to be with us. Got a job right away and got an apartment and became part of the church here. Over the year, his wife repented and they decided to get married again and for their relationship to heal. He set things in motion for her to move here for a new beginning. A week before she came, he lost his job. His apartment lease came up. And he sold his car within 3 hours. It all happened within about a day and a half. And he said, I don't have an apartment now. They won't renew my lease for some reason. I don't have a job. And I have nothing to keep me here. It would be better for me to move back there to be with my family and for us to begin a relationship there while she's still living with her mom and dad. And let's start at the beginning again for our relationship. The circumstances took him by surprise, but they went like that in a day and a half. God speaks through circumstances. If you don't have the finances to do something, maybe you're not supposed to do it. I wanted to build a building for Christians for Messiah Ministries so I could get the office out of our home so we could have a proper warehouse for all of the material that we need to develop and ship, and so that we could have a conference room for strategy meetings and another meeting room for teaching and training at the home base center. So we wanted a Christians for Messiah Ministries building. 3 times I tried to buy a place or get something going, and the finances wouldn't come, and it was just a lot of strife. And after it, I said, I'm not trying anymore. I know we need it. God will bring it when the timing is right. After 3 piles of heavy circumstances, I'm circumstanced out. God speaks through those things. If the finances are not there, look for a different directive. Focus in another area. It's not the end of the world. God will has something else. The 8th way that God speaks is through an audible voice. Once in my life, I know God spoke to me with an audible voice. It was for me to go to another city and plant a church. I believe there was a 2nd time when God spoke to me in a dream with an audible voice. I don't think it happens often, but it happens. I have many friends who heard the voice of the Lord in their ears, in their hearing, turned around, and nobody was there. It happens. So here are 8 ways to hear from God. Through the still small voice, through scripture, through signs and wonders. 4 is through dreams and visions. The 5th is through angels. The 6th is through ministers and prophets. The 7th is through circumstances. And the 8th is the audible voice. Now, except for the audible voice, all of the rest need to be tested. If God says, hello, this is me, you don't need to say, I need a confirmation. It will shake you out of your boots. When God speaks to you with an audible voice, it's a period at the end of the sentence. However, it doesn't happen often. And if it happens to you once in your life, you're one of the few that it has happened to. However, all of the others need confirmation. So if a minister speaks a prophetic word to you, or some spiritual lady in the church, put it on a shelf. Take it as one. You need three. If you get a scripture that moves you, put it before the Lord. Say, Lord, that's one. It looks like you're giving me direction. Give me confirmation with something else. If there's a sign or a circumstance, the still small voice, the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. We're talking tonight about the power of hearing God's voice. There's another speaker in the universe. He's the devil. And he has a pile of demons who also can speak. And there's a third voice in the universe. It's your flesh. Sometimes we need help to determine which voice we should be listening to. The ideal that Jesus preaches is, I lead my sheep and they hear my voice, and a stranger they don't hear. But you, especially if you're making big decisions, don't just get one voice, because you may want so bad to move to Hawaii that when you get the still small voice and your bank account grows enough, you say, I'm going to Hawaii in faith because God said. And you can go to disaster because you like it. Your flesh would like Hawaii. But you need confirmation. Somebody says, what's your favorite country? And where do you want to go and minister next? In a month's time, we'll be in Bulgaria. I say, I do have some countries that I really like in the world, like Israel. But it doesn't matter to me where I go next. I really don't care. I will go to Argentina, to China, to the Philippines, or to Iceland. I love people, and I love serving God, and I love to do it and have a lot of fun at the same time. I'm all about having adventure, seeing the power of God, taking people by the hand, setting prisoners free, and leading people on their journey with the Lord. If I can do that, the country or the people group, or the language they speak, is totally immaterial. Let me pray for you. We'll continue this tomorrow night. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit and your presence here among us tonight. We thank you for the Word of God, for how you have spoken to us. We say, Lord, open our ears. Let our hearing become sharp and clear and powerful. We know that our life's blood and our direction and our future is conditional upon our ability to hear and to keep on hearing. So all those things that have been spoken to us tonight, we embrace because we know it's the Word of God. And we say, come, Holy Spirit, and show us your ways. Teach us the ways of the Lord. We welcome you in all of your power and in all of your glory. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If after hearing this message you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, email Dr. Peter Wins at winsusa@comporium.net. That's winsusa@comporium.net. For additional teaching and other CMM resources, visit our websites at peterwins.org or unexpectedfire.com. Your financial contributions help this ministry continue. Your support is greatly appreciated. For tax receipts, send donations to Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina, 29732. We hope that you have enjoyed this powerful teaching by Dr. Peter Wins. We trust that it has taught you in the ways of the Lord, that it has helped to train you to be a better disciple, and that because of this teaching, you will receive more of God's blessings and favor on your life. From all of us here at CMM to all of you who are listening, we extend God's richest blessings.